Well, that's you know, that's a lot like you know, a lot of the traders' stories, certainly, and the people that are on the floor, they come from all different walks of life, really, all different backgrounds, and I think all of us have a similar tale to tell when we got our first taste of the markets. Was there anyone, you know, from that first moment, was there anyone that really became influential as far as Alan Rohrbach, you know, getting into this field, somebody that you might have leaned on a little more and cut your teeth with?
That's interesting because you and Michael both came up through the floor, and I think one of the first things you learn is that right from the first instant, there's actually quite a few people willing to share ideas, but what you learn is that they each have maybe a partial or unique perspective, and the question of how to develop a really well-rounded approach to the market means you have to listen to and discount a lot of what you hear when you first enter the business and hear opinions from people with a partial view. In terms of developing a broader view, in fact, it took a couple years' experience on the floor as a runner and phone clerk, and I finally went up to the office to be a retail commodities broker, handling retail accounts and indeed dispensing advice. And I met a gentleman by the name of Lenny Teifeld, who is a contemporary and who's still in the business. And we talked for a bit, and Lenny said, you seem to have a pretty analytical, you know, approach.
All right, Alan, hang on to that thought for 1 second. We're going to give you a chance to elaborate. You are listening to Traders Talk Live, AM 560, WIND Chicago. We left you. You were speaking about some people who are most influential as far as your evolvement.
Right, and as I mentioned, there were really two to get past the initial you know, confusion of a year or two of listening to various opinions from different people on the floor. When I got into the customer side of the business, a gentleman by the name of Lenny Teifeld started talking to me one day, and he said, you know, we ought to put out a special report on pork bellies. I said, okay. And he said, well, I need someone to help with the analysis of the supply-demand situation. And I was introduced to the niceties of demand elasticity and doing a proper fundamental analysis. And Lenny also introduced me to this wonderful device that, again, this is from the Stone Age. It's called the see-through ruler. It's a plastic ruler that's clear with grid lines and how to project, do better projection than I'd been doing already on charts. So there you have both sides of it. Mike, Craig, I've got fundamental. I've got studying market momentums as technical projections. And that's really where the more organized approach developed for me. Now, the other individual is the late Marvin Osowski, who took myself and one or two other close friends under his wing, and he had an encyclopedic knowledge of technical analytic processes and started us off, you know, with bar charts, moving averages, and then as we reached the limitation of what that would provide, he introduced us to overbought, oversold indications, so on and so forth, and really helped foment what was a robust enough understanding of technical analysis that by the time Ken Shaleen went on sabbatical in 1975, they asked me to teach the Mercantile Exchange's technical analysis course for a year, and that led to even more focused consideration of how it all works. When you have to teach it to other people, sometimes it really causes you to think even harder about exactly what you're doing. I know you two gentlemen have been through more than a bit of that through your OTA involvement.
Well, teaching is one thing, and of course we love that, and we do it quite often, but sticking your neck out on a daily basis, your business has evolved to the point where you have some pretty important clientele, and when you hang yourself out there, when your clients have millions of dollars at stake, takes a lot of guts, so to speak. And at what point in your evolution did you feel you could make a career out of this, leaving the teaching of it to the actual, you know, making a business and having people follow your lead?
Well, that's a great question because it actually happened in a couple of stages. And once again, sometimes you do things out of a eliminating what's no longer viable. And the first thing that happened is through all of that excellent mentoring which I received and diligently studying a lot of trends over the course of, you know, the length of trends for days and weeks certainly, but looking how things evolved over months and quarters, you develop a certain broader trend view and trend logic. And that is to say, how the market's performing relative to the fundamental news, and if the news looks bearish but the market keeps going up anyway, you start to develop a sense of that, and when short-term technical indications don't derail the dominant trend, and that was something that was quite useful for even the commodities brokerage business. However, I started to develop longer and longer-term projections, projections of where things would go over weeks and quarters primarily instead of hours and days. And that was at the same time in the late 1970s when negotiated commissions were starting to bite. So it was, well, as you're getting less and less payment for each position a client takes and their positions are on the books for longer and longer, that, you know, there was so much interest then in the big swings in interest rates out of the late 70s and early 80s. I published the first ROAR report in December of 1981 on an interest rate prediction and basically said, if I'm that good at this, it's time to stop getting paid by brokerage and start getting paid for consulting. And,
well, Alan, that you led me actually right into my next question, which is, you know, given that these institutions do tend to have a much longer time horizon, I can see that you do provide analysis several times a week. And why is it important that they see almost a daily report when their time horizon is much longer?
That's an excellent question, Michael. And that gets to the heart of how the institutions are always risk management oriented. It's part of what they do very well in their trading books and in their investment portfolios. And they yet, because the positions they manage are so large, they can't be jumping out on a day-to-day basis just to trade. In fact, there's the classic example of the market makers. You know, so many of these folks have stocks, bonds, foreign exchange, where they have to have inventory available when clients come to them to buy particular products. So they have to take a longer-term position. And the reason why the shorter-term analysis helps them is that they need to know where the fine line, and that's one of the things we do well, is very accurate and exacting technical projections. They have to know where the fine line breakpoints are in certain trends to know when they want to lighten up certain positions or expand them, and it's all across the course of the bigger trend. That doesn't mean they aren't monitoring it closely.
So they're just wearing both hats, so to speak.
Of necessity.
Gotcha.